Party and Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Must be.
Hey, it's Love Line, everybody. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Dear, dear friend, Christopher Titus here tonight.
Good evening, people.
He's got a Showtime special.
We're filming at UCLA, yeah. We're filming at UCLA on Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah, so I did everything backwards. I got the TV show, then the Showtime special, then I'm going to be doing open mics after this.
Perfect.
Yeah. I'm going backwards.
It's going to be at the...
Circle of Life.
Yeah.
Yeah, in September, he's going to be at the Deli Smoker at Ventura exactly. Boulevard.
I still have bar mitzvah caught in my head.
It's but I'm not going to have...
The mitzvah that you can begin studying for the bar.
Right.
It's a good joke.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you, Drew. Yeah, we're going to write that down. All right, we're just talking off the air about something. Christopher Titus pulled up in another one of his cherry custom hot rods.
Oh, another
tonight.
One.
I got the Woody, and it puked. It's
the Woody.
In the Home Depot parking lot, and it blew a radiator hose last night. So I thought I'd have this great deal with my wife, and I spent 4 hours lying on my back in the Home Depot parking lot switching a radiator hose.
Ditto.
Feeling
with
good.
Lower hose.
Oh, lower hose.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
That's a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was. By the way, Woody's through the roof. I mean, these things are $100,000 now,
wow.
Many of them, and
wow.
Sometimes more, depending on what years they are. Though
wow.
Yours look like a newer, like a
49, 49 chop 3.5 inches, all 5.0 running gear. So I'm basically taking all the value out of it. That's what I do. I like to get a car and screw it up. That's what I do. You know, the stock one, like Barrett Jackson was like $130,000. One went for mine. It's got 5.0 Mustang running gear in it. But
yeah.
I'll tell you what,
cool.
If I race that guy in the old classic Woody, I'm a smoker.
Right. If you race one of the Flying Nuns sisters, they drove a Woody. Remember that?
That's right.
They would drive a Woody.
Wow, nice reference.
Thank you. Let me tell you this, by the way, and don't feel bad because Barrett Jackson is the biggest car. For car nuts, it's
the
Super
Phoenix
Bowl.
One?
Yeah, and they have a few.
They do it all over.
But they do it all over. But the big one's at Phoenix, I guess. And on Speed Channel, they run all 6 hours of it
once
a year. And I watch all 6 hours. Now, we should probably get together because everyone else is annoyed by this. But I TiVo it. And it's weird to see 6 hours on your TiVo. Like you've never seen
a
block
of auctioning
of 6 hours.
Of auctioning cars.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you do, because I do the same thing, you get to a point where you're like, oh, that Cuda's going to go for 34.3, 34.3. Oh, my God, 42. And you're like freaking out. It's like watching the Super Bowl. Oh, my God. I can't believe that Mustang went for $80,000. Can you believe it? A high five on your friends.
Right.
It's pretty
frustrating.
So it's not like watching a brochure. It's at watching the auction.
You actually, it's worse
in
than a brochure because brochure you can flip through the new page. You're just watching a static shot of a car and guys waving their hands. And then
right.
They cut to the guy in the mic once in a while.
A better, yeah.
We suck.
Better yet, yeah, then they have the guys commentating on it. They do something that I say is unfair. There's a one hot chick that floats around out there and stands next to the dude.
Oh.
And it's like, yeah, the
guy who's getting close to bidding. You can tell the guy's getting to the end of the bidding. The guy who's like pretty much got his house mortgage at this point
right.
Because he wants this date Ferrari Daytona that Shelby, that Carroll Shelby, like, you know,
farted in.
Yeah, exactly.
In
one time.
Right. And so the hot chick stands next to him, and all it's 125, it's $130,000. You can tell the guy's sweating it. He's in over his head. And when you have a hot chick standing next to you, you're much more apt.
Because you know
she's
saying.
Makes
you more aggressive. Yeah, she's saying to the guys, come on, you got more, don't you, baby? You know, she's working him the whole time.
Yeah. So that's it. Anyway, here's what I wanted to say. The hot rods were going for a lot on the Barrett Jackson. And the modified stuff, so you're in great shape. I'm just a little inside
thanks,
car
man.
Talk.
Thanks.
For
you came
Titus
in the mini. Nice mini, man. I'm getting that next, actually. I'm ordering a mini.
Saturday, by the way, is... now, what's the... he's doing... Okay, so you're doing the Showtime special on Saturday at UCLA, but...
Norman Rockwell's Bleeding was a show that created Titus, and it got nominated for LA Theater Award and all these awards, and Showtime wanted to film it, so we're filming it, we're doing it at UCLA at the Fruit Theater, and we're doing two shows, 7 and 9:30, and we're filming it for Showtime.
Right, and that, and how do you get tickets?
UCLA,
right. Go online at www.ticketsucla.
It's a stand-up or it's a sort of a play?
It's more like Eric Bogosian type stuff. It's more that way. It's real funny.
That clarifies
most comics,
it for me.
Most comics, though, it's more of a it's more of like a one-man show, but not a one-man show in the sense that there's
it's
these just, moments of like real pain.
But
like
it's scripted kind of.
No, it's you know, it was
word.
My stand-up that turned into something.
Spoken word.
Let me finish.
Shut up. What are you doing? Let the
for
guy
God's
tell
sake.
A story.
I'm trying to come to terms with it.
Well, most it's like kind of like a one-man show. Most comics, when they do one-man show, like they think they can, they have to stop being funny, and they'll start like getting real serious about stuff. And that's what this is. And this is, there's jokes. I mean, I'm talking about my mom, everything from my mom's suicide to her mental illness to her she shot and killed her last husband.
Wow.
I say last husband because you don't get another one after that.
You mentioned this last time.
Yeah.
Is this the same show that from which Titus came out
this
of?
This is the show that
same
Titus show. It out of, and then Showtime wanted to. I got a new show called the 5th Annual End of the World Tour, which I'll be doing the next week at the Ontario Improv, and then we'll go down the list of my gigs
and
for the next year. Thanks,
loosely
guys.
Scripted, right?
Yeah.
All right, true. Stop being retroactively interested just because you talked over the first
time. But I like the insight of the loosely scripted part, Drew. Thanks. Yeah, you know,
I was trying to get it.
It's an in-depth interview. It's loosely scripted. Yes.
Let me explain what happened, Christopher. Drew did a movie with the Olsen twins a few months back, and all of a sudden it's Thespian Drew. He tells me he's off script, that he wants to pick up the beats.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
He's told me during the commercial breaks he's trying to find his implicit cue.
We're asking about sight lines.
I threw line.
In the radio station. What
his
sight line?
Is. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Drew.
He wants to know the subtext of these calls. Yeah, so he's turned into quite a actor.
Nice job.
And when you bookend by the Olsen twins, I think it brings out the best.
When you work with someone above your ability, you can rise to their level.
Of course.
Right. A lot of guys would have tacoed. You rose to it, Drew.
Sometimes even with Jack Osborne in the scene.
Really?
Wow.
There's got to be 4 years of acting experience between those three people. All right. Let's take some calls. Let's speak to Sam, who's 16. Sam?
Yes?
What's up?
Nothing much. My question is, I'm 16 years old, and I'm dating this guy, and he's 20, and he's still a virgin. And I'm not exactly sure how to go about this, because I do want to sleep with him, but I'm afraid he's going to be just, like, really bad, and it's going to, like, totally turn me off.
Did you say you were not a virgin?
No, I'm not a virgin.
How do you know he's a virgin? He said he was a virgin?
He's told me he's a virgin, and then my friend went out with him before I did, and she told me that he's a virgin, and his brothers also told me that he's a virgin.
All right, so he is, brothers. But it's not a bad... Okay. It's not a bad... Yeah, thanks, Chip.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it, buddies. Anything else? What about the bedwetting? Into that? How about when that time I cried during Brian's song, or sometimes when I masturbate, I like to lick my finger and rub it on my nipple.
Oh.
Give that one? Well, I do have sensitive nipples. But the point is, here's what I'm saying. This is an interesting ploy, because when you hear 20-year-old, and Drew, you normally hear 20-year-old with 16, you're like, he's a criminal.
Yeah.
Stay away from him. You hear 20-year-old virgin, and all of a sudden you lighten up your stance just a little bit. You're sort of like, Now she becomes the adult.
Yeah.
Like, so whoever doesn't have a hymen is the adult in the relationship.
In a way.
The guy's still kind of a bit of a freak.
Yes.
So,
In fact, illegally, he can't have sex with you, Sam.
Right. Yeah. But you've definitely loosened up your predator stance on the guy.
Yeah. Well, get a waiver. Can the guy sign a waiver at this point if he's a virgin? Is there a virgin waiver? Like, if she's 16 and she's done it, but he hasn't, is there a form, some sort of organization they can call in?
It does seem like...
Exemption?
It's like, here's the thing. If he's 20 and he's done it with a bunch of chicks and she's 16 and a virgin, this is a tragedy.
Yeah. He's
this
a psycho.
This man needs to be locked up.
Right.
Now, if it's the other way around, it's almost a push.
Well, but who is this guy? 20.
You know what I mean? It's like
still, but who is this guy? 20 virgin dating 16-year-old. So,
And how bad could he be, by the way? Because her worry is that she's not worried that the guy's 20 and after. She's worried that he's not going to be. How bad could he possibly be at 20?
Yes.
How bad?
Oh,
I mean, what's he going
to
do?
I wanted to explore.
Is he going to just grab the back and just start banging you against the drawer or something? Wait, is that the way?
What does bad mean, Sam?
Yeah, what does that mean to you?
Well, like, I'm afraid he's just going to, like, sit there or something, because, like, we were making out on my bed the other day, and he wasn't even feeling around. Like, he didn't, like, grab for my boobs or, like, try to go down my pants or anything like that. His hands were on my waist the whole time, and he was just sitting there. He kissed me back, and, you know, I would, like, kiss on his neck and stuff, and he'd just sit there. He never kissed on my neck.
Yeah.
And I'm just afraid he's just going to be like a board just sitting there, and I'm going to have to...
He could be like a volcano, too, though. He could be afraid he's going to unleash something. He can't start going down the path for fear of a...
Yes.
He may be aware of the legal ramifications.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be
I never met a girl like you in high school. He didn't grab my boob. He didn't go to my pants. Nothing, this guy. I never met a girl like you.
You could be making out with Bill Bixby, but he could soon turn into the Hulk.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And then the music comes, and that's when I weep.
Mm.
It always made me say, no, he's got to go to a new town. His pants fit again. No. All right, Sam, what's wrong with you, by the way?
There you go.
I mean, what? you're 16, you're with a 20-year-old virgin, and you're worried that he's not going to ravage you in the sack. Where's your dad? I don't trust you.
My dad's here. He's my real dad.
All right.
Where's your mom? Where's your mom, Sam?
Oh, my mom? She's here, too. I have both of my real parents.
All right. Mm-hmm. And you're sexually active. When did you become sexually active?
About last year.
Okay.
Is your dad a preacher, by any chance?
Yeah.
Do I have a what?
What does your dad do? Sometimes there's a rebellious thing going on.
Well, my dad owns a construction company.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
All right. And what?
And actually, my mom is dykey as it sounds. My mom's a construction worker. Like, she runs heavy machinery and stuff.
Wow.
That
does sound dykey. That doesn't only sound dykey. That is dykey.
Wow.
All right. So listen, Sam.
Short hair.
Okay. If you're in love, well, you can't fit the bouffant under the hard hat.
No.
I've learned that. All right. So Sam, look. If you're in love with the guy, fine. It'll work its way out. On the other hand, you're not supposed to be having sex, although she is calling from Missouri. Her being 16 may be old enough or considered a spinstress in Missouri. Drew's going to look it up. I don't exactly know what your question is. We can't tell you in advance whether the guy's going to suck. Here's the thing. Your first sexual encounter with anyone is usually bad until you sort of hammer it out.
No matter how good they are, or either way.
Your first encounter with a trainer, with a coach, with a teacher, it's always bumpy. Everyone's got to find a rhythm. The only reason you have the first one is so you can get to the fifth one.
Me and Drew got a fist fight first time I was on the radio.
That's my point. It went from all out furniture throwing a fist fight, got into a light bitch slapping, and look at them. They're dry humping.
I still have the scar from the coffee he threw in my eye.
Wow. Missouri has, oh my God.
Yeah.
14 for males, 17 for females.
Oh.
And illegal for same-sex activity of any type.
Sure.
Illegal.
They don't disappoint, Missouri.
14 for men, 17 for women.
Yeah. It can always depend on going in the time machine when you pull out the Missouri book.
Wow.
Missouri's a show-me state, right?
Yeah.
Show me you're bigoted. look, I've said this a kabillion times. We have to consult the manual to figure out what age, or can we just agree on 17 and move forward as a society?
Yeah,
17 for the girl, for everybody, pretty much.
Just
for everybody.
All I'm saying is you know, booze is 21, and driver's license is 16, and registration for the draft is 18, and voting is 18. Let's just go ahead and make the age of consent 16 and move forward. Hawaii shouldn't be different than Missouri and different from California and different from Arizona.
Yeah, we're a League of Independent States, Adam. How dare you?
But we can amend the Constitution on gay marriage. That's okay.
By the way,
Bush, back away from the Constitution. It's going to be like Raiders of the Lost Ark, man. He's going to touch it, and then like Benjamin Franklin's ghost is going to come out and go through his head, turn him into a screaming skull, and he's going to die. Don't hurt yourself, Bush. Put the Constitution down. That's just my opinion about that.
I hope he's listening.
He loves the love line.
Here's the whole thing about the individual states and the age of consent and all that. Ever since Southwest started offering $19 flights to, you know, Colorado, that's over now. You know what I mean? The fact that we're all connected now.
Yeah. Right.
We got the internet. We got Southwest with their $15 flights all over the country. It's now done.
Yeah.
Everyone's officially all over the place.
Yeah.
And now we need one rule, because it's too easy to get from California to Missouri now and get arrested.
And then wait till that bullet train comes in.
Oh.
Can't wait for the bullet
They're
train.
This close to driving that golden spike on that Vegas bullet train. They've been ever since high school. It's all I've heard about. And by the way, how fast is a train? Riddle me this, Confucius. How fast is a bullet train that takes 30 years to build?
Exactly.
Really? How fast?
We're waiting for the fastest possible train.
Right. Janice?
Hello.
You're 26?
Yes.
What's up?
My problem is me and my husband have a baby girl, and we are wondering if in the future, if we pass gas around her, if that can have any psychological effects on her.
Oh.
I never
had this question.
Never had this guy. I'm hoping it's not serious.
Are you kidding?
No.
I got a 2.5-year-old, been, you know, cranking them off pretty much, almost as a performance piece most of the time.
Yeah, if it's a boy, by the way, the child will count on it. Look forward
to it. Exactly. She's a girl. She's digging
it. She's a girl.
She's digging it, too.
I didn't dig the actual sitting on the head part.
No, that part, that annoys her.
But she probably wouldn't mind if you're just sort of...
If it were a boy, he'd be fine with it. In fact, he'd turn around to back at you.
Well, Well, yeah. that's what I just got a question. What are you doing in your free time that this is a question that came up? I mean, what's going on?
Me and my husband are just devoted parents, and we want to have a nice, healthy, structural environment for our daughter. And we just
we're kind of joking around, but I would suggest you get a book called "Parenting from the Inside Out"
and "Farting for Dummies."
You got
that's also a good one,
Janice. Parenting from the Inside Out. And read it.
Parenting from the Inside Out.
Yeah, a guy named Siegel wrote that. I want you to read it cover to cover, but fast, soon.
Okay.
Drew looks afraid.
Yeah.
Because there are priorities in parenting.
Well, she's that good a parent that she has these kinds of small
details,
problems.
Yeah.
Right. The checklist has been covered. Now we're down to number 312, and it's the farting in front of the child.
We got the carbon monoxide sensor in.
Radon gone.
We got all the guards on the door, on the kitchen cupboards in.
Right.
You know?
Whatever
channel blocker's working.
Right.
Whatever you do in front of the child, do not expect that you can persuade the child not to do the same.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? If you don't want the child to do that, you better not do it.
Yeah, all right. Well, how
and
about
Drew's looking
that?
At me now.
You don't care.
I like a nice fart, but I mean, yeah, you can't. Well, let me tell you, like Jimmy's kid is farting up a storm now.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a lot of kid, that boy. He's a man-sized gut on him, and he can produce some. He's got some pop, this kid. And the point is Jimmy's been farting on him for so many years that it's now game on.
Uh-oh.
And he comes into the dressing room and starts doing some world-class adult ass-sized damage in there. And this age, maybe 11. Yeah. So, the future is going to be brown.
Won't the social group take care of it at a certain point, Drew? I mean, it's 11. I guess 11 with boys. With girls, the social group will take care of it pretty quickly.
Yeah, but with boys, it can be cultivated.
Yeah. Oh, no. I sit at a table with a bunch of guys that just blast away all day fanning it and
Jimmy's
cupping
it. He's like a prodigy. He's playing at a pro-am level right now, pretty much.
He would be the Tiger Woods of ass. He's looking at scholarships, the buffets. The Shakey's people came around the other day. The guy handles the mojos. And the bottomless chili-sized trough over there was kind of kicking the tires, not looking to buy yet.
Who's repping the kid?
We got Jimmy Dixon, James Dickensar. He works us. He's repping the kid. And they're with Bragman, Nyman, and Caffarelli, I think, are doing the kid's publicity.
Don't you need a sports agent? I mean, it's a competitive arena.
It's tough. It's great.
Just the sausage
area.
Sponsorship alone is going to put the kid over the top. Jimmy could actually kill the show. So he can do whatever he wants on the show.
Right.
Get the free ride.
Yeah, the kind of money you make from sponsorship on a tour, just from, let's say, just the patches on your farting windbreaker that you might be wearing to a tournament, per se.
No pun intended.
Nice. Right. Travis?
Hey, how's it going? I actually have a question for Christopher.
Here he is.
What's up, man?
Hi. Hey, how's it going, man? I just want to say you're a very, very talented, very funny individual.
Thank you.
And I actually have a question. What happened to the show Titus, and how close were the characters on the show portrayed, say, in your life? Like, were there events in your life that were portrayed on the show or vice versa?
And then how does your family take all that?
Yes, my family signed releases, so it doesn't matter how they take it, Drew. They signed releases, and I was clear. Although my dad did call in and ask at one point after the release was signed, he held up the whole negotiations because he wanted a piece of the merchandising.
Really?
Like if we ever produced like a doll that, you know, you press the back and it drank like a six-pack in 3 seconds,
he
wanted a cut of that. You know,
one of the things we're working on with the Kimmel boy, by the way. It's coming out the other side.
Yeah, man. Everything, all the characters on the show, there was no, it happened, you know, my mom, you know, the episode I wrote called Mom's Last Visit was, she killed herself. We always make sure, like, the one thing we did is we made sure it was funny. We went as dark as we could and kept it funny. And
how come they had to sign releases? Because their names were the same?
Yeah, we used their names and everything, yeah. And also, even if their names aren't the same, the events happen.
Like, but how'd they feel about it?
My mom was in...
not that they not sue you, but how'd they feel about it?
My mom was around, but my brother Dave was cool with it at first, and then one day he just uncorked on me, man. We're up in the mountains, and he just goes, I'm the stupidest character on television! You made me the stupidest character on television! We got in a fist fight, actually, out in the snow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, that was the first reaction. My dad...
They're sober.
My dad hated me for a while, and then one day he went into a store, and they asked him for his ID off his credit card, and they grabbed the his ID, and they go, "You're Kentitis? You're D. Kentitis?" He goes, "Yeah," and he gets all mad. "Yeah, my damn son show." And these four guys come out, of, they goes, "Hold up." And the four guys come out of the back, and they're just shaking his hand, going, "Thank God for dads like you. I had a dad like you. I would have ended up in prison without a dad like you." And then he flipped. And,
wow.
Yeah, and my wife hated it. My wife had, man, my wife had script approval. Like, my wife.
Now, why did your wife hate it?
Because, like, I would, like my wife and I cheated on each other early on.
Oh, right.
And, yeah, in a relationship, and we did an episode about it.
Oh, well, I never thought.
What?
I forgot about your wife.
For a guy who talks about all this stuff, you know, you should.
No, it's good. It's not bad. It's just like,
no,
oh, my God.
I forgot that the wife, I was thinking about the family, the blood family, but I forgot that it spilled into your own family.
My brother's pot use, and so I did an episode basically where we cheated on each other, and that was, God, that was a 2-week fight for one episode. It wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
It was a funny episode, though. But yeah, man, it all really happened.
Oh, that's great, man. Actually, if I can ask Drew a very important question to me.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, I'm actually stopping smoking marijuana right now. I want to know what the process and length of time it's going to take to cleanse my body, because there's
it's
been
episode
like,
eight where the
like
brother.
30 yeah. days or something like that. But I want to know from you if there's like a certain amount of time period before you're clean and you can go out and, like, you know, apply for jobs and, you know, you have the drug test. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. You're worried about when the urine is going to clear.
Yes.
Is that right?
You're
not worried about when your brain physiology is going to return to normal. Your urine can clear within 48 hours, but I would give it.
Doesn't seem to.
No, I would give it a good 2 weeks. And don't. And if you're going to lose weight or change your exercise pattern, you want to do it now, and sustain that, because that can cause you to suddenly release pot from the fat stores.
No, well, that's good times.
It is good times.
We got to take a break. Christopher Titus here tonight. I want to talk to James over here.
Not Bryce.
Well, let's see, Bryce over here, waxed 3 times a day for 2 years. Can't stop beating off. James.
Yes.
You're 22?
I am.
You got a big girlfriend?
Yeah, you could say that.
280 pounds?
Approximately, yeah.
Yeah, you could say that.
I guess
that would qualify.
Unless she's 8'8".
How tall is she?
Almost 6 foot, 5'11".
Wow.
So she's not.
No, still tremendously fat.
Yeah, but I'm real fat.
All right, and do you want her to lose weight?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's, you know, the more and more that I've gotten to know her and fall more in love with her, it hasn't really mattered in terms of intimacy, but we definitely have talked a lot about, you know, a lifelong commitment and children in the future, and I'm just concerned about gestational diabetes if, you know, we were ever to have kids, and kidney problems and heart problems. And
all right.
She actually broke her ankle a few years ago.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, it bothers her still, and I think if she lost some weight, that would really help her out with that and having more energy and things like that, too.
All right.
All
well,
true.
How are you doing in the weight department?
I'm good. I'm 6'6 and 230. I work out regularly and have a pretty good exercise program.
And why doesn't she also...
They're going to give birth to a garbage truck.
Yeah,
four.
I mean, it's going to be mammoth.
Somebody that's going
kid.
To rule the world.
Yeah.
Why
they have
she...
some competition for young Kimmel in the ass game.
Yeah.
Big person
just
like
pure
this.
Pure volume alone.
You know, he'll be playing the veteran tour by then, man. When that kid's ready, don't worry, he'll be fine. He'll be the old guy.
He'll be signing throw pillows and just out on tour. You're right. Hold on a second. We got to take a break. We'll get to James and his gal pal who's packing it on, and we'll figure out how to lighten that up. And God bless him. He loves her. There's certain advantages to this, not just the boob size, but it gets him off the mark. It really, depending on what you're – there's two types of let's talk – it's like your car. We got to take a break, but let me just say this. Some guys like driving a really nice car because they like that feeling of everyone looking at them wanting what they own. Some people like driving a piece of ass because all the pressure's off. Leave the keys in the ignition. Hey, you don't worry about where you park it. And if someone, you know, shopping cart scrapes it out in the parking lot, ain't no big deal. It sort of takes the pressure off. Plus, the car ain't never going to leave you. You see what I'm saying?
Well, nobody else going to.
Nobody wants it. No one's going to jack that. No one's going to boost it.
Yeah, but eventually the frustration of having to fix the damn thing every 3 days.
Those radiator hoses.
That's right. Radiator, you know, hearts blowing, stuff flowing, you know.
Yeah. He said blowing, right?
Yeah. All right. You'll be fine then.
Christopher Titus is here. We'll take a quick break. We'll get back with James, his big gal, after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Christopher Titus here tonight. Going to be at UCLA this Saturday doing his HBO.
Showtime special.
Showtime.
Showtime special.
Oh, there it is. Yes.
Showtime's getting back into comedy. It's me. They did me, George Lopez, and Dave Chappelle.
Oh, well, you could do a lot worse than those
three guys. I'm telling you.
It's going to be there this Saturday, and if you're interested, that's 7 to 9:30 p.m. taping the Showtime special. If you want the tickets, you just go to I'm going to give your website out. Is that going to be an easier way to find it?
No, the tickets are UCLA.com.
All right.
EDU.
Yes, it's education. www.tickets@UCLA.edu. Yes.
Is there a name? Do you search under a certain...
Norman Rockwell's Bleeding is the name of the show.
Okay.
I wonder if we got to get release from those people, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Sure. Norman Rockwell?
Yeah. Hey. See, you know, the show's kind of Cosby-esque, except, you know, my mom, you know, killed a guy.
I was saying that... Cosby's still probably worse. Drew and I always complain to Drew about the words that are too close together.
Yeah.
Like...
Push and pull.
Yeah. Yeah, but then we start getting into intra and inter.
Yeah, yeah.
And that micro and macro are the one that kicked my ass. But I inadvertently stumbled onto a minority and majority, which really couldn't mean, they couldn't be further apart. And they really, while they're not as close as micro and macro, still pretty damn close.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to have one shoot out instead of the other.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
You said a small majority, which that was even worse, that you actually added the word small in front of it, Adam.
Right. No, you're right. It was egregious, and it won't soon be forgotten.
And I was confused.
But the point is we need some separation. Push and pull. Don't need to both start with a P.
No, we should put a W in there somewhere. One of them should have a W in it.
That's right. So I say Yang.
James in his super race.
James?
Yes, sir.
In his super race?
Big people.
Yeah, oh, that's right. The big creating people. Super race, yeah. Yes. So, now your girlfriend's 280 pounds.
Yeah.
and she's almost 6 foot.
Uh-huh.
And you're worried about gestational diabetes and her overall health.
Essentially, yeah. I mean, you know, she doesn't have much of an active lifestyle. She has a desk job that she's very successful with. And, I mean, she's an all-around girl, you know, and I'm...
You got the round part right.
Her. What about her seeing a dietitian?
What's that?
What about getting her to a dietitian?
I've considered that. I've considered, you know, just kind of expressing my concerns to her. But, you know, the problem is that I know that no matter how I say it, she's going to take it as, you know, look, it's over if you don't lose weight. And that's not how I feel at all. And I don't want to come across that way.
So instead, you called a national radio show and put it out there. Good move, man.
But no, you're very health conscious. You're very diligent about working out every day and watching your own diet. Just tell you want to participate. You do it because you're worried about her health. That's all she'll understand.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
Is this the truth?
No, there's something mildly bogus about this guy. First off, give me a worst case scenario. Sasquatch hits the road.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
And by the way, let me just tell you something. Husky chicks, they're not so quick with the ultimatums. They don't hit the road quite as fast as the svelte ones do.
That's right.
They don't. The guy goes, listen, babe, you know I love you, and I can't stop thinking about you, but I'm also thinking about starting a family with you, and I worry about your health. Oh, this is a slap in the face.
Yeah.
I'm going to go off with the international playboy. That's it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to the south of France.
Right.
Me and Mr. Learjet right now.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's not how it goes.
Like, but what he said, he's 6'6", 230, which means he's pretty strapping, and he says he works out all the time, so he's in great shape. He's got Mama Quatch here, and yet he's saying, I love her and I care for her, and I think the bottom line is he wants her to get in shape.
Well, it could be that you have, like, a Trekkie here who is super codependent because he's having his first relationship. Mm-hmm. And you notice how his whole thing was all, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that.
He's
not what does she want or what is it
she's
interested in doing.
Yes, sir.
James, is this what line of work are you in?
Myself, I'm a paramedic.
All right, and
what's good guy?
What is this? Have you been a big hit with the ladies up until this point in your life?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I've had a few relationships, but this is definitely the most serious
I've
been involved in.
Not including people that needed to be resuscitated who really. Didn't know what was going on until...
Yeah. It doesn't count if they say they love you after you bring them back from the dead, dude.
Or what you do to them before they for the while they're looking
okay,
at the
right.
at the tunnel.
Violent crime, I tell you.
All right. So listen, James, you go ahead and tell her you're telling her this because you care about her, you care about her health, and you care about the possible health of your
paramedic,
child.
You're paramedic. You're exposed to these things.
No big deal.
No reason you shouldn't be able to bring this up, and it concerns me that you don't have a healthy distance from her. You're so enmeshed with her that you're responsible for her every feeling and her every shred of health. That's not a healthy.
And by the way, this
but
is
that a, goes to it though. He's a paramedic. That totally goes to who he is, dude. Where are you from? I mean,
what's
Denver. No. But in a life, I mean, what's your mom and dad? You got a like a mom thing? Did your dad leave?
Actually, yes. I was.
Beat Drew to the punch on that one, man. Yeah. Sorry, Drew.
Yeah.
Way to refine it.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Dad left because he's an alcoholic.
Ooh.
Oh, dad left because he's an alcoholic. But
why did
also,
dad?
So he had to take care of mom. Here's the thing.
Right.
So he had to take care of mom. He became the kid taking
care
of mom. Now he's
going
to take
care of this guy. That's right. That's a typical thing.
Is that it, James?
Oh, so I'm just a hack.
Drew's
like, Titus is a hack. Easy.
Well, I mean, you know.
Pretty good. For a guest on Loveline? Come on.
No, it's pretty good. But first off, the fact they just showed up before the show started was pretty good.
Really good.
I'm still reeling. All right, James.
Yes, sir.
Is your dad an alcoholic, or was he an alcoholic?
Also a drug addict as well. Yeah.
All right, and feel like you had to take care of your mom growing up?
More or less, I suppose.
All right,
yeah.
Good enough. Now, this ain't your mom, or two of your moms.
Right.
This
That's
is
right.
just one big gal sits behind a desk, and feel free to go ahead and assert yourself.
We could dig further and talk
I don't
about
wanna,
you know,
I don't wanna
why
dig.
She's big and uses that as a way of buffering her against people.
Here's
he's afraid of cracking that open, and there'll be an abuse history there. He's needing to rest.
Here
we go.
All right.
Do you want to crack it?
Now.
Right. James, you know, dude, you know, here's the thing. Part of this is you. All I'm going to say is, man, you're going to drag yourself down a road. People are who they are. They
you know
stay
what?
Who they are. It's not your job to make her better. It's your job to go out and save the guy who actually ran his motorcycle into a pickup truck.
I can
your
relate.
Job is not try out to save her.
I can really relate. Read, please, James. This is going to sound very self-serving, but go get my book Cracked, where I, as a metaphor, explore my need to rescue and what it and how poorly serving that is of people you care about and your patients, and what it is to be a person who's just genuinely available with appropriate distance from them. Cracked is the book.
Yeah, Cracked. Random House.
Reagan books.
Reagan.
Where can I get that book? Where can I get that book? At Borders, maybe?
Anywhere, yeah.
All right.
Bryce?
Thank you.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Drew sells out of his trunk after each show. I'll catch you a deal. Bryce, what's going on?
I'm writing a new chapter, a new book.
Like the hood, like the hood from the hood. You're selling psychology from the trunk. That's cool.
It's good times.
Bryce, you're 16.
Yep.
What's happening?
Not much. I got a chronic masturbation problem, and I don't know if there's anything I can do about it until I get rid of it.
You get rid of it?
Yeah, I want to stop.
Okay.
Well, I don't think you face a demon until you get rid of it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there is. His will to live must end first. Then he gets rid of it. Yes.
Here's how you can stop. Stop forming your right hand into a semicircle and planting it on your dork and then moving it feverishly. That's one
lubricant
step.
Of some sort.
Are you using
Lubriderm in
Are you using internet porn and that kind of thing?
Well, yeah. Just like a whole combination of stuff that and like,
yeah, you know, it does have. I was thinking about this the other day. These things do have a compulsive, addictive quality to them. That in order to break the cycle, you have to kind of cold jerky it. You have to really stop for a while and break the momentum you have with it.
Yeah,
not say I expect you to stop for a long time, but give it a 10-day withdrawal period.
I know.
10 days,
Chris.
Well, my wife's 7.5 months pregnant now. 10 days.
Yeah,
ten days.
But he's got to Bryce has got to break this pattern, and then you know they took it back into the war. Hopefully, a more saner pattern.
Then you got to just what you just really
kind of like. It's like eating. You know, when you get some momentum with food, you got to stop.
It's game on.
So if you get back, then you just kind of play with your.
Well, it depends.
For a while, unless stop, and then you just kind of work up to
unless
a real loving relationship.
I was thinking to myself, you know, there's so much. The kids are exposed to so much stuff.
Yeah.
It's like McDonald's, or it's like all the crazy food that we all eat, and the kind of momentum we get with bad food and carbohydrates. I think the same thing happens with pornography and sex, guys, and they have to withdraw from it.
Because it becomes normal.
It just has momentum.
Not that
to
I know.
It. And then if you throw in a sexual abuse history and you can't stop, well, then you have to get treatment.
Yeah. I was just thinking about addiction. I don't care that much about Bryce. Just go ahead and stop. Or slow it down or whatever. But here's the point. I don't totally believe him, but I just never heard of 16-year-olds wanting to stop beating off.
My question is this. What is, when you have a problem, does skin start flying off? Is it too much? What happens?
They get shamed. They feel weird about it. But anyway, that hurts.
Yeah.
But that could be one time, depending on how you're raised.
Yeah.
You know? I have a masturbation problem. I did it Thursday.
Are people is addiction a bigger problem than it ever was?
Yes.
Is there many more things to become addicted to and much easier roads to become addicted?
There is. Here's the deal. It's a three-pronged problem. One is trauma, abuse, neglect, etc., is what sets people up to need to reach to the environment to regulate their feeling states. And because of the sad state of our families, lots of people are coming out of traumatized systems, number one. Number two, they enter a culture that says, well, the way to feel good is you just do all these things. You masturbate, you go to pornography, you have sex, you drive fast cars, you do drugs. And it works for them.
Right.
And that's why they keep doing it.
Pull the fast cars. Forget about the eating. Yeah.
And the eating, whatever.
Fast cars with the eating.
Yeah. Okay. You throw all that in. But the culture offers as a solution the very source of the problem.
Yes.
And then if you sprinkle in now a genetic predisposition, which affects about 10 to 15% of the population, depending on what that you look at, pow, these people manifest disease.
Yes.
And the kinds of drugs that are available. Now you have your OxyContin, you have your hydroponic pot. You have your, you know, stuff you can get through the internet.
Like bathtub gin in the past.
Right. The access to the pharmacology of these things are more rapidly addictive, and the kind of this pornography everywhere and stuff, and then the food as we're talking about.
Yeah, but here's what I'm asking about. I understand the things are readily available. It also just seems like everything's been ramped up. And there's a very mixed message because we're talking about go get it, go after
extreme.
It. You got to go extreme.
Got to be extreme.
You
got to
go 110%.
I'm telling you, that's
you never
the problem.
Stop.
Thrill.
You know that. But it's not only the thrill, but it's that sort of this guy goes 110% 24/7, and you go for it. Everything you do, you know, we talk. There's a lot of these platitudes, like everything this guy does. Balls out 100%. It's like, I don't want to hang out with that guy. I like a guy who likes to nap and do a little bit of nothing all day.
Some crackers with some cheese.
That's right.
That's what I'm
saying.
Can be
good.
Yeah.
That's my point. I'm just wondering if there's just the tempo of life is leading to more of this and a broader spectrum of things to be addicted to.
Again, to me, that all speaks of arousal. And arousal is the basic mechanism.
All right. I'm going to blow a butt, get some coffee, and beat one off.
and run out of the
I don't know what I'm going to do with the rest of the 2 minutes and the 4 minute break. We can go look at Titus's car.
Fair enough.
Christopher Titus is here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Christopher Titus in studio tonight. He's got a Showtime special, which he's going to be taping at UCLA this Saturday. And that is 7 o'clock to 9:30 p.m. Yes.
And like the subject matter is like it's like people from this show in joke form, basically. So my mom, my dad's, you know, addiction to alcohol, and is the six ex-wives, you know, he got actually approved for a marriage license gold card. My father,
super white trash. The Tituses.
I have a white trash black belt, actually.
This is not really white trash.
Well, it has.
It has an ethnic flavor to it.
Well, no. Here's what I think.
I'm a 6'2 blonde guy. What do you mean ethnic? What does
but,
that mean?
You know, like I would expect an Irish family.
Oh yeah, Irish and Scottish and stuff.
Yeah,
a lot of that.
Yeah.
German too.
That's white trash, though. I mean, when you come to
white
this country, you become white trash.
It's unidentifiable.
Hey man, you don't tell me I'm not white trash, Drew.
Hey man, yeah,
I'm telling you.
Whoa!
The deal is more colorful than white.
Don't tread on me, my friend.
No, here's the thing. White trash get themselves in trouble because they're stupid, and
they don't have the energy for six marriages. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they got a lot of energy, but I know what you're saying. I'm just saying there's sometimes some people get into trouble because of just sheer stupidity, and other people get into trouble because of addiction and repetition and demons.
Right.
Where the IQ is there, but that's not enough to pull you out of the mire.
That's
the demons.
Right,
the demons are stronger than the IQ is. Obviously. Christopher comes from a high IQ family low dysfunctional.
I had a 180 IQ, concert pianist, spoke four languages.
Your mom?
And my mom.
That's not white trash.
And tried to kill her husband.
See what I'm saying?
Right. But now I'm just saying it's all the earmarks of white trash minus the low IQ.
Yeah, it's all the earmarks of white trash with a well-paying job, basically.
Right.
I think we can nail it down to that.
Yeah. Now Drew Maves right because. Can't be well-paid professionally and be white trash.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter because after every divorce, my father ended up white trash anyways. You know, this broken refrigerator on the porch.
It's white trash.
They would just take everything.
It's white trash wannabe.
Yeah, at one point in my life, all we had left was a wooden box, 12-inch black and white TV, and a 4-man rubber raft that we used as a couch.
Wow.
And I was the coolest kid in third grade.
Rubber raft as a couch.
That's right.
That's nice. All right, let's go to the phones. Anderson, what did you say, by the way?
I could barely hear Titus now.
Oh.
Oh.
All right. Faith?
Yeah.
You're 24?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I wanted to tell you, first of all, that it's not the eighth step, it's the ninth step, making direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others.
Yeah, the eighth step is a higher power step.
Oh, okay. This is the one where people...
Eighth step is made a list.
Right. The ninth step is the one where Margaret Cho has to corner me, Kathy Griffin, stone cold sober, and tell me that it wasn't right what she did to me a few years back when she came on to me. And I'm drunk and high, and I say, don't worry about it. And she says, no, it's not okay, and corners me again. And now it's really getting weird. That's the ninth step.
So make people feel really uncomfortable on stuff you did in the past that you would just prefer to forget.
Yeah.
Good. No, just so want to check.
Yeah, it's like, sorry I made you feel uncomfortable 3 years ago when I was hammered. Let's relive it.
And let me layer it on a little more, because now I'm in charge of my facility.
And by the way, when I knew you were hammered and wouldn't remember it the next day, it was no big deal. Now that you're sober, it's extra weird.
So what's up, Faith?
Well, except when to do so would injure them or others. That's the other part.
What's up, Faith? What's going on?
I forgot it.
All right. Stop it. Let's go.
Okay. Yeah.
You're the AA auditor.
I know. I'm obviously a step Nazi. So why did I relapse after 6 months of sobriety?
6 months. Because it's a chronic illness, and it's the relapse is a part of the disease process. You'll figure that out as you get on in your sobriety, where the weaknesses were, where you didn't follow directions, where you didn't capitulate to the process. It may not be clear to you subjectively now. I'm sure, I bet you your sponsor has an idea.
Well, and that's the thing, though. My sponsor never relapsed. A lot of people never relapsed, but I don't want to be one of those people who's, like, relapsing over and over and over again, you know, and like, I don't know what I didn't get because I thought I was working on a pretty good program.
You might have been. Listen, it's not always exactly clear what leads to the relapse. It's a complex process.
Sometimes you just do a rail, a crank.
It's a disease marked. Yeah, sometimes you come across stuff that your drives are activated and you can't succumb. You're in the right circumstance. You have the right cues activating things, and it's just you can't withstand those drives when they develop.
But I have a question. Is it also possible? And this is like when people say, you know, someone who's jacked their whole life, they're doing crank, whatever they got. And then they switch and they go, I'm cleaned up. You get a lot of attention for that. You know, it's great, oh my God. And all of a sudden it's this attention that you crave. Well, then you're 6 months down. Everybody knows. You're not getting the big pats on the back anymore. People are like, oh yeah, great, blah, blah, blah. Let's go to the ball game. And then you're like, well, I'm not getting the attention anymore. Is it possible that people, because I had a friend that did this. I had a friend that had the great stories. And then 6-8 months in, the story stopped. And it's not that we didn't care. It was like, we got it. We got it. Good. You're going. And then he went right back. And then he had new stories.
Well, but the stories was him trying to convince himself that he was in recovery anyway. And so a person who's squarely in recovery is just relieved. They're letting go. They're not telling you anything. They're just in.
So they weren't in all the way then.
That person wasn't in.
Okay.
And this is, you know, Faith is for, you know, whatever her issues are. You're doing great. You got 6 months put together. You're back. You're sober again. Stand up as a newcomer and keep going.
Are you sober again?
So I fell into a bonfire.
I have a month and a half now. And the thing was, when I came back...
All right, that's enough. It's fine.
Faith, the reason Adam is hanging up on you is you've got some character issues, too, that need to be sorted through that are above and beyond, whether you're a trauma survivor or whatever. Adam's responding to that, and that's part of the stuff that needs to be worked through.
No, I also sort of believe that when you make sobriety your life, it makes you more apt to fall off, too. I mean,
yeah, you have to balance your life. Yeah,
you do, because you walk around. I'm an addict. Here's the deal. I'm ready to trip any moment now. I could trip and stumble because I'm an addict, and I'm this close, and I'm missing one meeting away from falling and stumbling. Mm-hmm. And look, you got to stay with it. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying when you become sober person instead of father, mother, son, student, whatever. When it takes the place of, when it becomes the biggest part of your personality, maybe you're setting yourself up for a fall. Thank you, Drew.
Right, because any switch, I get what he's saying. Any switch takes you down. I fell into a bonfire. I got burned up. I almost died. Guess what? Done. Have no desire anymore. Not again. And maybe we should just do that with addicts. Just push them in fire one time.
Yeah, big volcano, big sobriety.
That'll be. You got to give him an escape. You can't just let him burn up. You have to pull him out quickly,
great,
too.
Yeah. You guys ready for the 13th step? It's literally a step.
No, definitely wear a hat.
Haleakala.
Cassandra?
Hi.
You're 19?
Mm-hmm.
You got a 10-month-old?
Mm-hmm.
Are you married?
Not yet.
Okay, you better wait. Your 10-month-old, she's your daughter, and she humps everything in sight?
Well, not everything in sight. She just humps a lot.
Yeah. What is that, Drew? Some kids have that.
10-month-old? I don't know.
No, she's horny. Self-stimulates. I mean, what are you going to do?
Is there a lot of activity in the home, a lot of chaos?
Sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's what the child... A child will sometimes respond to chaos and powerlessness by self-stimulating.
Why is there a lot of chaos in the home?
Her father and we kind of fight sometimes.
Okay.
Well, that's not good.
You're freaking the kid out.
Oh, good.
Well,
okay.
Cut it out.
How about you not fight in front of the kid?
Well, we try not to, but sometimes we do.
All right, well, stop.
Okay.
All right. And look, no more kids, screwball. That's enough.
That's white trash.
Yeah, just put a raccoon on the phone so I can talk to someone intelligent here who can raise a kid. Is this like this is in charge of the kid? This is mama? Fantastic. All right, no more kids. And stop fighting in front of the kid. I know you guys live in a shoebox, so you're going to have to go outside when you have at it with the old man. Christopher Titus is here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Christopher Titus is in here tonight. Got himself a little show that's going to be a Showtime special, and it's doing it at UCLA this Saturday. That is 7 o'clock to 9:30. You can
7 and 9:30. Two shows, my friend.
I'm sorry.
Got to have that second show to fix all the mistakes of the first one. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Cut it all together. I'm be wearing the same shirt though.
Right.
So we could edit.
Right. The 9:30 shirt will be stained with the stench of failure.
Yeah. That was brutal. Look like Australia under each arm, but that's not the point, is it?
Yeah, it's these are. By the way, this is tried and true. This is proven. This is a proven material.
There's a guarantee. There's a guarantee of laughter on the show. I guarantee you that you will that it will kick your funky butt.
Right.
I can say. I'm worried about all the Janet Jackson. Your radio station. I go on now. They're actually everyone's got their thing over the butt. No, God, he's gonna say F. You know. So I'm. I said butt. I hope that's all right.
7 and 9:30 UCLA this Saturday for tickets. You just call 310-825-2101. All right, let's hooked up with the guy who's 18. Ray?
Yeah.
Ray the female. You're 23?
Yes.
Hooked up with an 18-year-old guy?
Yeah.
You wanted to date him?
Yeah. Before I knew he was 18.
Okay, so what happened? You had sex with him?
No.
Well, what do you mean by hooked up?
Made out with him?
We just made out, and then he came over and hung out for the few days after that, and he disappeared because I don't know if he got scared or whatever. He I don't know.
You don't have a phone number?
Huh?
No phone number?
Yes, I do have a phone number, and he calls me, and he still wants to hang out with me, but
so
last week he decided that he didn't want to technically see me anymore, but he still calls me every night and wants to hang out with me.
Look, let's just agree on this. If you got a guy and he's flaky, he's mixed, he's ambivalent, and it's 2 weeks in the relationship, move on. Move on. Don't turn him.
You're going to have big trouble later if he's already like this at 2 weeks.
Yeah, if I buy a car and it blows a tranny.
I never
hold on a second.
Guys.
Hold on. I wasn't totally listening. I think Titus was saying that he has a transsexual...
He blew a tranny.
No, hold on. Wait a minute. I didn't finish the sentence.
So you're blowing a tranny
in my car. Right? And I'm saying, there's an argument going on. He starts arguing with me, and he's got the money in his hand.
Right.
You dump him out. You open the door. You say, get out. Done.
That's right.
Or.
here's the thing. Drew was saying there's going to be trouble down the road. I don't think there's going to be a down the road, per se.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
Especially when the guy's 18 and you're 23 and he's giving you the, hey, this ain't happening speech. Just move on.
And 23, you're totally in your prime. There's some other guy out there that's going to be.
Yes. Ray, move on. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, what's this 18-year-old guy that this 23-year-old girl who's obviously pretty smart needs?
I don't know. That's what's weird. I've never dated a younger guy before, and that's why I don't know why I'm so,
I know.
Why doesn't he like me?
He's there. You go. That's what it is, right there. See, he's playing you. He's totally playing you. He's dissing you for that reason. He's pulling the chick move on you. Is what he's doing.
Right. Yeah. No.
You got that little insight right there. That's right. He's pulling the chick move on you. Move on. Cut him off.
No. He's done. But the reason she's intrigued is because he's
exactly.
And if he committed wholeheartedly 6 months from now, you'd just be a 23-year-old who's dating an 18-year-old and getting made fun of by your friends. Just move forward. Move on, baby doll.
You don't want to have the Game Boy conversation with your boyfriend when you're 23.
No. Yes. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Crystal, who's 17. Crystal?
Hello?
Ooh, got that little girl voice.
I know. Okay, I have a big problem here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 2 months ago, I haven't had sex for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a month pregnant. Is that possible? Like, that I know who the father is? Because recently I was drunk with his brother. And I passed out, but I asked him if anything happened, and he's like, it didn't happen. And he's married, so I believe him. But
why did you suspect something had happened?
Because he's been, like, ever since that day, he's been closer to me and offering me rides home. And I don't know, I feel uncomfortable.
All but right, you didn't feel something immediately following upon waking up or anything like that?
No, I didn't feel anything. So
and how do you know that you're 1 month pregnant?
Because I took the pregnancy test.
Yeah, but why 1 month?
Well, because I took a pregnancy test. I don't know. How else could I be?
And when was your last period?
My last. I haven't had it for like 2 months.
So you're 2 months pregnant.
You're
2 months pregnant.
I'm a month pregnant.
Well, if you haven't had your... Okay,
Crystal.
Follow me on the
map. Crystal, 60 days in a month? Let me just try this. 60 days in a month, yes?
Excuse me?
Okay, I was just trying to... All right, hold on a second. We got to convene. For a second. First off, her name's Crystal, and I was just thinking, right somewhere in between Angel and Cammy in the going to get pregnant as a teen
Crystal.
List. Yeah,
Crystal usually
I think
also,
it goes Angel, Crystal, Cammy. Yeah, it's always trouble. Tammy up there, too, surprisingly. I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. She thinks she got impregnated when she passed out somewhere.
But she decided that's what happened. Therefore, she's a month pregnant, even though it's been 2 months since she's had her period and only recently took a pregnancy test.
And who is the guy? The guy is...
The brother of her boyfriend.
Who she trusts because even though she was drunk out of her mind and doesn't... Something obviously happened because she had to bring it up.
Okay, so let me try this again. Crystal?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you have sex with your boyfriend?
Yes.
Maybe it's his baby.
Well, I don't know. That's why I'm confused. That's why I'm calling you. I don't know. I'm confused.
Well, it's probably a... Do you use protection?
Yes, I use protection with my boyfriend. That's why... How could I be pregnant?
What do you use?
Condoms.
Is it possible that it malfunctioned, that it slipped off, that sort of thing?
Excuse me?
Does he ever penetrate without the condom?
No, all condoms 24/7. Every time we do it, condoms.
That's a size word for her.
So he never penetrates without the condom on?
No.
Okay.
And
24/7 condoms.
Well, not 24/7.
Andy, that's a lot of humping. Mm-hmm. And so you think you got drunk, you passed out, and his brother had sex with you?
Because he's been nice to me now, and like before he would.
I know. I got a postmenopausal neighbor who's nice to me. It doesn't mean she raped me when I fell asleep. I know your theory is he's nice now, so he must have had sex with me while I was passed out.
There's more though.
First off, your boyfriend's brother can be nice to you without actually raping you in your sleep.
Right.
Number two, wouldn't you know it if the guy had intercourse with you?
Well, yeah, but I just didn't wake up sore.
You just didn't wake up sore.
Okay, hold on.
And I was clean.
Hold on. Isn't she answering? But she didn't wake up sore?
Right. That's
there's
sort of a loose implication there that the only way she could have told is if she were sore, but she just didn't happen to wake up sore, but that doesn't mean nothing happened. See that all that
See,
logic
that's what
I'm
saying.
Really?
Why, like you said, Adam, why would you even bring it up? If it, I just looked over at the next day and thought, hey, did you rape me last night? That doesn't happen unless you something unless you think something.
He did offer a ride to school.
Well, that too.
Guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, imagine what a lawyer could do with that. Your Honor.
But that's not why she's saying it. That's right. What she's telling us. Something else happened.
Crystal.
Yeah.
If you passed out at the guy's house and he had intercourse with you while you were passed out, don't you think you would know it?
I was high.
You can't use the F word. Oh, by the way, she's going to make just a world class mom.
Aren't you glad?
I think she's a kindergarten teacher. I think.
Yeah.
I think that's what she should be doing.
Kids. All right. I got to get back with her, even though she used the F word. I know Anderson's angry, but
unacceptable. Reset? Are we reset, Anderson?
No. Yeah, cares? Just barely. What do you mean, who cares? Come on.
All right, that's cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Listen, Anderson.
It's cool.
Yeah, buddy.
Here's the deal. You barely get paid on this job. It's no big deal if you get canned.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually hoping for it.
All right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, let's go.
But I want to go out with a bang. I don't want to, because Crystal decides to cuss, you know?
All right. Crystal.
Yeah.
Please don't use any profanity on the show, or we're going to have to hang up on you.
Okay.
I know you were really effed up.
Why?
You told us, you said it on radio.
Yeah. I took a look at the surveillance footage. I go over that very carefully before each show. Hold on a second. By the way, I mean, when your reproductive system is up and running, and your brain is still that of like a developing primate.
Yeah.
That's a scary combination for society.
Yeah, I think
that's a disaster as far as society goes.
You just offended Jane Goodall, actually, with that comment.
I know. I know.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Give the chimps credit. Hey, Crystal.
Yeah.
Okay. I know you were very out of it and you're very effed up. We talk to people all the time that are very effed up. They wake up, their panties are torn, there's semen on them, they're sore, they're bleeding, you know.
They
still realize, like, I go to bed effed up almost every night. I don't wake up thinking I got cornhole, but 2 days a week.
Right.
And that's out of seven.
When there's a Polaroid in your hand.
Yeah.
That's always.
Right. I mean, why, and again, no profanity, Crystal, why are you so sure the guy's brother had sex with you?
Because I don't know, because he's just been nice to me lately.
Okay,
there we go. Yes.
All right, Crystal, can you please get an abortion?
No.
I just heard the smoke alarm.
Oh, is that what that was? I think I heard it too.
I think I heard it.
Yeah.
Is that the low battery chirp on the smoke alarm?
Yeah.
There it is.
Oh, and it's on a fast rotation too.
Every
it's about
20
every
seconds.
15, 20 seconds. Yeah, stand under it, would you please? Let me time it. 1 second.
Oh, well. There.
Are you standing under it?
Here we go. No, I'm not standing under it.
Please stand under it.
Why don't we stand under it?
Because we would like you to.
It's important. It has healing powers.
Okay.
There you go.
There it is. Okay.
Wow, is it loud?
1 at 5. Well, she moved under it.
But still.
Well, okay.
Where is that smoke alarm? In your house?
She's going to say the ceiling.
It's in my room.
It's in your room. Okay. How long has the battery been low? How long has it been chirping?
Just today?
Crystal?
Yeah, just today.
Just today?
Just today.
You call back in 3 weeks, it'll still be gone.
Yeah.
All right, listen, baby doll. How about you give the kid up for adoption? It's 27 seconds.
No, because my boyfriend's excited. He wants to keep it, but I don't know how to tell him, you know? I don't.
You don't know how to tell him
that someone's being nice to you?
About his brother. No, I don't know. I'm confused.
Okay, so Crystal, you know, here's the thing. Look, you're so sure of this. Something happened. You're not telling us the whole thing. You are so sure this guy did you that you're not telling us. This is BS.
Right.
He's nice to you? That's, you know, just cut to it. What happened?
Crystal.
We flirt like once in a while, but nothing big. Like.
All right. Crystal. Hold on. Oh. Chirp. Chirp's coming.
You know, I flew with the lady.
Chirp. Chirp. What the? Where's the chirp?
Did you walk away from your room, Crystal?
In my room? No.
You're in your room still.
No, I went to the kitchen.
Okay.
Oh. All right. It was just a high point of the conversation for me, guys.
Right, here's the deal. The other thing Crystal might forget something. She's actually believing something else happened. Crystal needs immense chaos.
Oh my God!
And yes. so this is a bid for chaos.
All right, Crystal. Here's.
Always involve a baby with the chaos too. Nice job.
Please get an abortion or give the kid up for adoption. Let a responsible family raise his child. You are in no shape. Look, here's the only thing. You only got to be smart enough to realize how stupid you are. That's all I need you to do right now. And you are really stupid. You should not be raising this kid. This kid's going to grow up worse than you did, and I imagine that was pretty bad.
And buy some 9-volt batteries.
You may even be an honorary Titus.
Hey, whoa!
It's true. true. So wow. Listen, give the kid up for adoption and stop your chaos. I know your dad's not around and whatever went on, you got molested. Just please stop it, everybody. I only get angry when you take it out on the kid. I feel sorry for all of you. Here's what I do. I feel sorry for all the boys until they get violent against somebody else. I feel sorry for all the girls until they bring a new kid to crap on into society. Mm-hmm. Everyone is a victim until they make someone else a victim, right. And that's what you're doing now.
Right. Just because a scoutmaster rubbed your butt at the overnight jamboree doesn't mean that you get to take that out on a kid when you have one.
That's right. That's right. And, but, they probably shouldn't name it jamboree if they don't want it. It has some sort of a sexual connotation to it. Nick?
Yeah.
You're asking for trouble with the jamboree.
I think you're right.
Bivouac. Much safer.
Much better. Tougher name.
Tougher. We bivouac here. We jamboree. Yeah, that's trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a grope fest.
Yeah, you're right. If your scoutmaster's calling it a jamboree.
Bivouac, we fill our canteens, we all hit the hay. Jamboree, that's s'mores, ghost stories, and goosing.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some butt rubbing going on.
That's
jamboree.
Right.
You're right. Good point.
Nick?
Yeah.
You got a car question?
Yeah, man, I've got a 1960 F100, and I'm throwing a 427 Hemi in it, and I need to know if I should reinforce the front clip,
Hold on. You got an F100 pickup truck?
Yeah, I'm throwing a 427 Hemi in it.
That's a really rare motor, dude.
Yeah.
If that's a Ford, that's a really rare motor. What are you doing? How'd you get that motor?
I just got it off the internet.
No. Mm. You're putting a Ford Hemi in your Ford truck?
Yes.
Fords didn't make a whole lot of Hemis, did they?
They made a hemispherical head engine. It wasn't called a Hemi because they couldn't call it because Dodge had actually trademarked it.
Hmm.
They couldn't call it the Hemi, though.
They didn't make very many of them. What's this young punk got? He's full of crap.
On the internet, it's an $11,000 purchase.
Yeah, you're not putting it in a $400 truck.
Nah, man, it's completely restored and everything. If I were to sell it right now, I'd get at least about $6,000 for it.
All right, so what kind of tranny are you running?
I think it's a TCH 308. It's custom built for it.
All right, so you're putting that in your truck.
He's making up numbers, by the way, Adam. He's just making stuff up at this point.
I don't blame him. And you want to know if you got to reinforce the front clip.
Yeah.
No.
Well, look.
Is it a stock truck?
Yeah, it's a
is it
truck.
The frame stock? Well, first of all, number one, you shouldn't be. All right, let me. Okay, now I get mad like you get the screwed. Look, if you're going to do that, if you're going to waste an $11,000 motor on a $6,000 truck, you're an idiot. You're stupid. You know what you should do? You should actually take the body off the truck. You want to do it right? Build a tube frame for it. Do it right because you're putting the motor in something that doesn't need to. I'm as mad as you with the kid thing.
Yeah.
Don't waste that motor on that truck, man. Unless you're going to take it and do it right. All right. If you're building a cover car, use that motor. But if you've got a Ford if you've got one of those Ford Hemi motors, do not put it in that truck. All right? All right, don't call back.
All right.
Well, he's disgusted.
I'm sickened by the whole thing.
It's got the twin I-beam suspension, as I learned from the... there used to be a great commercial, man, that movie Mr. Majestic with Charles Bronson. There used to be a Ford truck commercial where they'd go, "This is a Ford F-150 from the movie Mr. Majestic." And they'd go... with some suspension modification. And he would show Charles Bronson, was like a pissed off beet farmer, jumping as a truck.
It's like 30 feet in the air, and the car continues on after it lands. That's what I hate in the movies.
I like it in the movies, I always like it when they're on the streets of San Francisco. You see the car go up, you see it land, you see the A-arms buckle.
You see the transmission comes through the roof.
Transmission comes up, and you see the front tires just completely tow out. They just taco.
The spindles are on the ground. Yeah.
Right, and then next scene, he's going around the corner.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Ever see Mr. Majestic, Drew?
No.
Hey, you guys see it?
Heard of it.
Yeah.
I don't mean to get fired up on a
Chuck
car question.
Chuck Bronson. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Get fired up. Don't bring up car question on Loveline, all right?
That's right.
We love fired up.
Yeah. Home improvement, though. That'd be nice. Anastasia?
Yes?
You're 20?
Uh-huh.
What's the matter, baby doll?
Well, nothing is really the matter. I've been having feelings, like sensations, kind of like I'm ovulating almost, but a little bit more, like, sharp. In my pelvis area, and I was wondering if that could possibly be pregnancy.
It could possibly be a lot of things, Anastasia. You're in no position to sort of speculate about that. You've got to get it checked out.
Mm-hmm.
It could be infection, could be abscess, could be endometriosis, could be cysts, could be a tubal pregnancy, could be a lot of things.
You're sexually active?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to get in first thing tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah. How about it? You have a doctor?
Well, yeah.
Well, Not everyone on the show has one.
Oh, sorry.
Including myself.
Are you on a medication?
No.
All right, so you're not using birth control?
No.
Okay, then another reason you got to get in right away.
Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Are you having sex with anyone?
Yes.
What's going on with that?
What do you mean, what's going on with that?
Is he using a condom?
No.
Hey, Anastasia, you sound good and nutty. What's up?
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, here's the thing. All Drew and I do, it's like we're FBI profilers and we just keep flipping through books and books. And
it's
going,
amazing, like,
he's
a warlock.
Yeah, look, here's the thing. All right, let me just quick speech here. Yeah. Drew, stop me from running.
All right, I will.
Titus, feel free to applaud at the end of this.
Okay, I'm ready.
All we do all night is listen to people's voice, their affect, their tone, their cadence.
And how they make us feel.
And how they make us feel.
Yeah.
Yes. And we respond people to that. Say, look, how can you know this about somebody when you barely know them and you haven't even seen them? All that does is muddy our trough. It really does. It's a pure form just to speak to them over the phone. We can learn more from two syllables of a stranger than some couples know about each other for 40 years of marriage. And by golly, with God's good grace and the power of this country behind us, we're moving forward. I'm running out of steam.
But I know where you go. I just want to stay with you.
Thank you for the crescendo, by the way. The point is they make us feel a certain way. We hear three syllables out of somebody. You can hear whether they're depressed. You can hear whether they're anxious. You can hear whether they're happy, sad, whatever it is. Abuse, drunk, high. It's all easy. You just pick it up in their voice.
Is there a formula? Is it like? Because is it?
It's just how it makes us feel.
Well, with this one, is it the squeaky little voice and the giggly?
You got a little girl voice mixed with some confusion, mixed with, well, I'm having sex with a guy, but I wouldn't call him my boyfriend. There's a little intimacy problem there.
Yeah, primitive.
Mixed with, I'm not really taking care of myself. Like I'm not using protection, although I'm having sex with a guy, I'm not really having a relationship with.
You guys are like white trash alchemists.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Thank you.
But I mean, she's 20. This is like not right for 20-year-olds.
Anastasia?
Be that clueless.
Yeah, well, okay.
Hold on. I'm going to make a guess. Junior college. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, I know junior college when I hear it.
Say Jewish.
Oh, that's not right.
Yeah, it's not right, but it is so right, isn't it? Where are you going to junior college?
Do I really have to say?
Yeah, I like to know.
Cerritos.
That's it made fun of in the junior college realm. In the ranks of Valley College makes fun of Cerritos. They go, you keep effing up, son, you're going to end up at Cerritos, JC. It's a threat.
It's like the continuation junior college.
Yeah, that's what it is. All right, so listen, Anastasia, I don't know who this guy is you're having sex with is.
You got to start. Friend of mine.
You got to start using protection.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sexually active, so you need to get regular pelvic exams. You're now having pelvic pain, and as I said, there's many dozens of different things that could be, some of which could be serious, like an ectopic pregnancy, some of which could affect your fertility, like a chlamydia infection.
Yeah.
So you got to get this checked out. It's ridiculous.
But in general,
and you need to get a birth control.
Anastasia, so take control of your life. You're a good person. There's nothing wrong with you. You can do it.
Yeah, this is a drama. You don't want to go any further. I actually was bleeding. My wife was pregnant, so I got prostatitis, and I didn't know what it was, and I had pain, and I'm bleeding, and I knew something was wrong, but I just kind of, I'm a guy, it'll go away,
right?
Or something will fall off, and then it'll go away,
right?
And so before something bad happens, go to the doctor, for God's sake.
Prostatitis.
Sakes. I know.
It's
ironic.
And it's bad.
And she wants this guy to be her boyfriend.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
He's just a real good friend.
Here's the thing. Listen, just take control.
Yeah,
take charge.
It's fine.
And here's the thing. Don't count on guys to guide you.
In any way.
They will not. They'll do what they got to do. Here's the whole thing. Count on guys to take care of you as much as the guy in the car lot is going to take care of you. He's not. It's you against him. You better show up with some comparable prices and haggle and say you got another guy on the internet who's going to offer you this. You just show up, throw yourself on their mercy, they rape you. And that's it.
Right.
Don't just hand him your credit card and go running out to the car. They'll screw you.
And a nice car that he's driving is like undercoating. It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
It's not real. If he's driving like a Porsche, it's worse.
That's right.
You're getting screwed.
That's right. All right, we're going to take ourselves just a little break. That's where they make all their money, Drew.
Who?
With all that stuff, all the car places.
Oh, what?
All that rust-proofing and Simonizing and Scotch guarding.
They still do the Simonizing?
I don't know. But that's what they, that's where all the money comes from. And it's always like, well, over 5 years, it's just $11 a month. And then they start adding all that junk up. Before you know, you paid like $1,700 for an alarm that you could have had put in down the street for $199. Mm-hmm. All right. Because I feel people ought to know.
You're a consumer advocate.
Thank you. I really just like the sound of my own voice. We're going to take a quick break. Christopher Titus here. You don't have to nod. You have to nod when you hear that, Chris. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Christopher Titus is here tonight. He's got himself a little Showtime special. He's going to be filming at UCLA this Saturday, 7 o'clock and 9:30. All you got to do is go to www.tickets.ucla.edu. That's education. And you find out, you go see him. All right. Ready to go here, guys?
Yeah let's go.
Let's talk to Katrina, who's 16. Katrina?
Yeah?
You saw your stepdad glancing at her when he got out of the shower.
Yeah, it was real creepy. Yeah. I was in my room, like, changing, because I'm just a naked person. I just got out of the shower, and I turned, and I, like, could see in my mirror. I was in my closet, and I could see, like, shadows pass behind outside my back door, because it has windows on it, and it...
Uh-huh, he was outside.
Yeah, he was looking through, like, the garage door, like, into my window, and I knew it was him, and I didn't know what to do, and I just called my friend, and she was like, say something to him, and so I just opened the door, and I was like, this is really creepy, but that's all I said, and I closed it, and I didn't even look at him or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then, maybe he was looking at your friend.
No, she called the friend.
She called the friend.
Yeah,
on
I
the
called.
Phone?
I didn't know what to do. I was so nervous, and when I was on the phone with her, I could just still see him outside, and he wasn't leaving.
You know what? Good for you.
Yeah.
You really handled it very well. You got support for yourself. You took action.
And then, I walked in, because my friend said, you know, like, go see if he's sitting in the living room now. And then I walked out of my room, and I could see the door that you would, like, leave through my house into the garage wasn't all the way closed.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it was him, and I walked in, and I was like, were you in the garage? Because I think I saw shadows, and he was like, no.
Was he drinking or anything?
I know it was him. I saw him.
All right. Well,
was he drinking or using?
Is he boozing?
Me?
Him.
I don't know. Maybe sometimes.
Okay. Well, let me ask a couple of questions.
Okay.
You knew it was him. You could see him that clearly that you knew it was him?
I could see his shadow. Like, I've lived with him my whole life, so I could see his shadow, like, of his hair.
And then I, like, profile like Hitchcock.
I could see him.
All right, so you knew it was him just because it felt like him, because you've been in his presence enough.
Could you get, like, bolts on your windows and doors, that sort of thing, to screw in a couple of locks?
Yeah, I'm going to have to put something over my windows now.
Good.
I don't know how many times this has happened.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Just assume this is the first time it happened because you saw it. You know what I mean? This is what I have when I get a new ding in my car. I always walk down to it and I go, hey, look at that new ding. That must have happened last night. And then I go, well, wait a minute, it could have happened any time. And then I go, wait a minute, how come I just noticed it now?
Yeah.
So look at it like I look at my new dings, which is, you just noticed it now, so let's just assume this is the first time he did it. Otherwise, you would have noticed him before.
Okay.
It'll make you feel better. It'll be better. We'll just start this one from this point on. Shouldn't you have curtains in your room anyway?
Well, it's my back door, and all that's in my backyard is a door from my garage and then just, like, a really small area of cement. Like, no one can see into my room.
Okay. And did he have any business out in the garage, or he was just out there with the light off?
He was out there with the light off.
Okay, have you told your mom?
No, it just happened, and my stepdad, like, he's always been, like, overly friendly with me and just my friends, you know, like, oh, you look really nice in that shirt, you know?
Like, but you say you've known him your whole life.
I have, and it's just...
Since you were how old?
He married my mom when I was, like, 6.
Do you have any siblings?
I have a brother that was the same as with my mom and my dad, and then he has two kids, and I'm really close with my stepsister. And now, I always tell her, you know, your dad creeps me out, and I'm really freaked out.
Yeesh.
And what does she say when you say that?
She's just like, I don't know. She doesn't really want to hear about it, you know? It's her dad.
She's also 17, too. It's getting to a point, and maybe you are noticing it early on, because she's 17 now, and that's that, you know, even the dad's going, he's been maybe thinking about it. It sounds pretty creepy, though. Like, yes, the curtains are good. We need, like, it's like creepy stepdad trading spaces we need to go on right now, because he's doing some stuff.
Honestly, I'm afraid to tell my mom, like...
Okay, well, look, here's the thing. Here's what we can hope for, and I'll open this to debate, but here's how I would proceed. I would put a curtain on the back window.
Definitely.
A number one.
And a lock.
Yeah. Well, the back door should have a lock on it anyway.
Well, he's also stepdad, so he lives there.
Yeah.
We have a secret lock or something.
Yeah, okay. B number two, you don't have to tell mama yet. Hopefully, this guy got some scare put into him. Like, okay, he's not an all-out just pedophile rapist. Otherwise, he would have done something by
now.
Long
ago, yeah.
Yeah, he's probably just sort of innocent and creepy. At the same time.
That she said something to him was great.
Hopefully, yes. That you said something to him is great. Hopefully, he got that message, feels scared to death that you're going to talk to your mom about it, and is completely sworn off of this. Hopefully, learned his lesson. If he hasn't, you go right to mom.
Yep.
That's it. Sorry that you got to feel creeped out in front of this guy. That's unfortunate. It's too bad. I don't know that there's a lot you can do that's going to stop you from feeling creeped out in front of this guy.
What is this, March? You can leave for college in a couple months.
It's pretty much, this should be all the incentive you need to get your grades up and go off somewhere to college.
You don't think you talk to mom, though? You don't think?
I could go either way with that. I think
I'm just worried because my mom is like, my mom's an alcoholic and she's a really emotional person.
That's...
And just really unstable. And she gets jealous when my stepdad, like one time he was like outside, like going to the cat, and my mom comes downstairs and thought he was whistling at some lady and yelled at him for like an hour. Like, and my mom won't even let, she won't even let me talk to my stepdad.
Maybe you should turn her loose on him.
But for some reason lately, my stepdad has been being really friendly with me. Like, if I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna take a walk, he's like, do you want company? Like, I'll stand there, and I'm a genuinely nice person, you know.
No,
and
you are, but you're also assertive, which is good. Yeah. And your mom sounds like a mess. Here's the thing, I like your friend.
Yeah,
she's like Kazoo with boobs, you know.
Exactly.
She just pops up, gives him nice little information from the safe distance of her bedroom.
Jenny, does she call you Dum Dum?
All right, it's an old joke. Listen, Katrina, here's the deal. Your stepdad is on double secret probation, which is, if he says, like, you go, look, I'm going to go. If he says, hey, you want some company over there? Now it's time to pull him aside and say, listen, I'm uncomfortable with this.
Yeah.
I don't want to get mom involved with this. We both know how easily she comes unhinged. Please don't make me do that.
But you also want to build a creepy, like an anti-creepy stepdad crew with your friends.
Yes,
you really do want to make sure
and safety in your home.
Yeah.
Locks, no, not alone with him, all that kind of good stuff.
Piece of hickory. Yeah. Nice piece of hickory.
And by the way, we have a saying in my world. That's called, we call it Martin's Law. A gentleman I used to work with, my name is Martin, who coined this law, which is that if the wife is an alcoholic or a user, the husband is too.
Right.
Particularly if she needs treatment.
By the way, the kneecap, real painful. He's a piece of hickory on the kneecap. Crack him. Next time he walks in your room, does anything, just one time. Just take him to the ground.
I know this sounds pathetic, but I almost feel sorry for the guy, too. He's got this alcoholic shrew of a whatever.
Right.
All of a sudden, he blinks, and his stepdaughter's got a nice C cup going. And it's like he's sitting there reading the sports page on his beat-up sofa, and he hears that distinctive shower shut off. All of a sudden, it's like, old lady hasn't put out in 6 months. It's like, now it's going to be a good time to go check the fuse box out by
exactly.
the garage.
That old BSA motorcycle I was working on needs to be looked at in the dark. I'll bring the flashlight.
True, as a man of supreme passion.
Men are so predictable.
I know, you can at least identify it. I mean, you don't condone.
No.
And if he stops at this level.
But it makes sense.
It's okay. Yeah. And on the other hand, I feel horrible for these women who, I mean, can you imagine how creepy it would be? I don't know if you use that word 30 times, but you got a guy living in the house with you. You pretty much know would like to have sex with you.
And he's your dad.
And he's your dad or stepdad. I mean, isn't that weird? Like, I had a weirdo stepdad, too, but he didn't want to have sex with me.
You sure?
I'm sure he didn't want to have sex with me.
I've seen him look at you, yeah.
Yeah, man.
I've seen the way he looks at you.
Drew showed me letters.
Maybe that's why I always wore that. He didn't.
That's from his stepmom.
Actually, still wearing the members-only jacket. All right, let's... Drew, see, you didn't have that experience of weirdo step-parents in their house.
See, I did.
Step-parent is weird because it's like... They got the word parent in there, but not just barely. And they ain't, and they're pissed, and you're not sure what to do with them, and you're kind of freaked out by them, and it ain't your dad, and it ain't your mom. On the other hand, you want everything to be copacetic, but on the other hand, they got... It's like
security guard with a gun is what it is. It's like, you know, it's not a real cop, but there's got a weapon on them.
They're licensed to use a weapon, yeah. And they start...
I've had all of them, my friends.
It's a disaster. It's always weird. Christmas comes around. Then, you know.
You always defended divorce. Oh, look, my parents separated when I was 8. I'm fine. What's the big deal?
Well, look at me. I'm literally a millionaire. Literally. No, you talk about the divorce being horrible on a kid. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you that my parents breaking apart was a good thing because they're both such idiots and such a mess together. You see, you're acting like two very loving, very nurturing people decided to go separate ways instead of the loser Corollas who are arguing over a sofa with a burn, huge burn mark on it. You know, that was like, when losers break up, it's a good thing.
Yeah,
but the step-parents are weird.
My parents' divorce settlement involved a bar tab. So,
wow.
It gets rough. It gets, I'm with Adam on this one.
Yeah. High IQ, white trash. That's the Tituses, everybody.
Four languages.
Well, fifth dysfunction. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Christopher Titus, dear, dear friend. Christopher Titus here tonight. He's got himself a little special from Showtime.
Doing the big 1 hour comedy special at the UCLA, my friend.
That is coming up this Saturday. 7 o'clock show, 9:30 show. You can go to www.tickets.ucla.edu if you want to get tickets.
And it's about being proud that you're screwed up. You know, I hear people on the show. Some people feel like they have no life. But I'm proud. I'm just be proud. You're screwed up. Don't get too proud like me. I actually got in an argument with a guy in a bar. I've been at $50. I was more dysfunctional than he was,
and
he raped me. So I tipped him. I'm very competitive.
Christopher's. On paper, I don't think anyone is more dysfunctional. At least
on paper,
has come from a more dysfunctional.
How happy
past.
Were you when they got Stacey Keach to play your dad?
Oh, I was scared out of my mind. You know, actually, first thing I asked him was about his drug habit. First thing we're on set, I go, "Let me ask you about the cocaine bust," because once again, which also probably lost me the show. I have a tendency to cut right to it with people.
Yeah, he got busted when he was Hammer.
Yeah,
Mike Hammer. Because it was in Europe going through an airport or something?
He was cool, though. He was real cool. He told me right away. He said that he was so addicted to cocaine at the time. He said this. He said, "I was ready to quit because I was so addicted to cocaine at the time. I had one of those fake shaving cream containers. I put my cocaine in the fake one, then put the fake shaving cream container next to my real one in my luggage. So when customs opened the bag, it said Gillette with a J and Gillette with a G. And they're like, 'Hello, Mr. Keach. Come here, please. Can we take you up to the side and talk to you for a minute?'"
Right.
It was full of cocaine.
Yeah, I don't know why... I would do this. I'd make the same mistake because I act like they don't have shaving products, not only in other countries, in New York. If I'm going to New York, I'm like, "Look, if I don't bring this this Edge shave gel, I'm not going to be able to shave for the 4 days over in the Big Apple there." Like, I go crazy. I don't know, what is that obsession? I'm sure you do the same thing, Drew.
Yep.
You just act. I mean, sure, you want to bring what you got to bring, but you just don't think you can even buy a pair of socks somewhere else. I don't know why you got to pack that way. How about just the emotional freedom of saying, "I'll just send. I'll have the room service guy bring it up if I forget something." Huh? Huh?
Yeah. For God's sake, you might be stubbly. What if you're stubbly? What if you're in the airport bathroom and you're feeling weird and stubbly? You need to shave.
I pack. I go like a maniac with that stuff, and even if it's the little throwaway toothpaste things and stuff, it's weird.
It's a pain.
Yeah, going and getting it.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
All right, but not as big a pain as being busted for narcotics in Heathrow.
No, that's a bigger pain.
Thank you, Jenny.
Yeah,
you're 18.
Uh-huh.
You got a 23-year-old boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, I have trouble trusting him because when we were together, like something came upon us, right? This girl that he messed around with before, like she has a baby now and it's his.
Something came upon you?
Yeah, like...
Came upon somebody.
Or well, within.
No, thank like the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. So this girl...
Did he cheat while you guys were together?
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How dare you? How dare you, Adam?
Huh?
I know, because how dare I try to besmirch this guy's minty fresh reputation.
Exactly.
I'm picturing a guy like a top hat and spats. A little mustache wax.
So, Jenny, what's the question?
Okay, well, I don't know. I'm, like, so confused because I still want to be with him, but we have, like, trouble in our relationship a lot. Like, I have a hard time trusting him because, like, he's really honest about everything, right? But I don't know. Sometimes, like, I just don't.
All right. Well, let's talk. Do you have any kids with this guy?
No.
Ah, okay. Phew. That's good. Now here's the thing, guys. The guy is fertile. He has a very powerful seed,
yeah.
And he's going to get you pregnant too.
Oh, I've been taking care of myself.
Good.
Yeah.
What does he do for a living?
Well, he works
right now.
Right now he just has this job. He's working for minimum wage.
Yeah.
Just a vague job? Is it door-to-door? Hi, what do you need? Well, I mean, what does he do actually for minimum?
Well, right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, what does he do?
What does he do?
Distribution for CDs.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so this guy's pretty much a loser, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. He's a good person, you know? Like,
losers go, sure.
Well, you know,
what's he doing?
On the good side of loser, on the upside.
Does he see his child?
Yeah. He's in the child's life now.
He is.
And she's in his life now, too. But, like, he had, when that happened, like, when he found out that the baby was his or whatever, like, mm-hmm. Me and him broke up. And then, I left town because, like, I guess it was too much for me or whatever. And he moved in with her. And then.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I thought she left town because she lost a wrestling match, which I would like to see come back. Where the loser.
Oh, but look. Okay, let me tell you. Like, okay, right. He moves in with her, and then he decides that he can't be with her, right? Because he doesn't feel the same way.
So okay, listen. Hold on. Look, you got. There's. Dump this guy.
Yeah,
I know.
Too much gas. You're 18, baby doll. There's nothing wrong with you.
And listen, to the way you sound. You sound smart, intelligent. You sound
real
sweet.
No, I am, but I don't know. I have a chance. Like, I don't know. I just want to give him a chance. Like,
you
why?
Give him a chance. Why? You've done it.
Why? Tell me why. Give me a reason. Tell me why you want to give him a chance.
I don't know. Because he's giving. We've been through so much, and like,
that's
exactly.
Yeah, that's why you stop.
We've been through so much. You know, the people that were under the Hindenburg didn't get on a blimp again. They were like, "No, I don't want to do this anymore." You know, what are you doing?
Yeah.
If you've been through so much, just because you fought up the mountain doesn't mean there's like an escalator on the next one. For God's sakes, run, turn, and run.
Continued hill.
What is wrong with people? This why get
Sisyphus.
Away from this guy?
Uh-oh. Sisyphus.
Jeez.
Yes, thank you, Titus.
Jeez. Titus, rubber band is finally snapped.
I'm sorry. You know,
I know it just kept whining and whining. Finding that beanie prop, you know, and eventually it's.
But how do you guys do it every night? Because there is a point when you go.
We don't care, son. That's the difference between me and you.
I'm going to tumor listening to some of that.
That's right.
You know, you've been through a lot with this guy. It's time to move on.
Good enough. Story.
Yeah, and when you're talking about minimum wage, it is that much easier. Heather?
Yes.
Drew, you're starting to develop a bad habit, which is putting a sticker over the person's name, so I can't read what
got it.
Name
sorry for saying. Unloading, guys.
That's all right. Just don't do it again.
Cool.
Heather, you're 21. What's up?
Hi. Yeah, I'm 21. And I've had this friend for a few years. And mm-hmm. I got familiar with her family and, you know, her husband. She has 3 children. And anyhow, we kind of got into, you know, kind of little fight. She, because I had watched her kids and, you know, whatever, regardless of what the fight was about. A few months later, she called me, and she wants me to come up, and, you know, she missed me, she loves me, and all this. So I come up the same night we have this threesome, and...
Whoa.
You just happened to show up on Threesome Wednesday?
Well, you know, one thing led to another this night.
What does that mean? What does that mean? Where were the kids?
They were there. They count each one as a quarter.
Were you drinking?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Who'd you have the threesome with? Her
husband,
and you. What did you do? Yes, okay. And what did you do on the husband? Oral sex?
Oh, God, we did everything.
Oh, you had,
well,
intercourse, too?
This first threesome led to more, and she was loving it, okay?
Uh-oh. But you were just kind of, it's confused, like a dick in a ditch, though, right?
Well, excuse me?
You said she was loving it, but, I mean, you kept going back. Was there a...
They all were. We went as far as going to Tahoe and getting a hotel room together. And
That same night?
Yes. No, different night. We've had, I'd say over six of them together.
Over six, but over not...
six. And she
but
would...
But not eight.
...say she loves me and she wants me to move in.
Okay.
And everything. So now I'm in the...
She wants you to move in with her and her husband?
Yes.
And the two kids or one
three
kid?
Kids.
Yes.
Three kids?
Actually, and I have a daughter too, so it's four.
Oh, my God.
Man. Okay, Heather.
Yes.
Wow.
Mother.
So now I'm living here
mother,
with her.
Oh, well, you did move in.
Ooh. Mother effer, literally. Heather is. Heather,
what's your question?
How about just a mass Jonestown type suicide?
I think whip
up some high C, take everyone out, we take the gene pool down.
What is your question?
We feel bad for the kids, but we quickly rebound as a society and move forward.
Yeah.
Question? You have a question?
Okay.
Heather. Okay. You made a statement. We have no time for your question. Here's what I want you to focus on. These are very chaotic people. You're very chaotic yourself. I'm sure you came from a lot of strife and a lot of chaos. You're recreating this for your young child.
Yes.
Do you want your child to be deprived of a childhood just like you were, with all the booze and all the chaos and all the abuse, or do you want to create something a little better for your child?
Better.
You're an adult.
Boundaries.
He loves me, and he wants to move out and create this better world.
You and the husband?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
No. This man is not to be trusted.
Just stay together, like Adam suggested. Form your own religion and build a compound. And then the government will come in and take care of it.
That three-something never works. Look at what's happened to this marriage.
This is close as
three
gotten.
Kids. Three kids. His life's destroyed by
but how
the
do you
threesome.
Get that?
All right. We got a break. Christopher Tye's here. We'll be back. That's the show. I want to thank Christopher Titus, dear friend, for coming out here. We're going to go
and
out.
And for bringing out your fans.
Oh, thanks, guys. Yeah, my Mescudo fans.
We're going to go look at his Woody, and then we're going to go out in the parking lot and look at his car. Huh?
Yeah, the people. You got to stop everybody.
7 o'clock and 9:30 UCLA. Big Showtime special this Saturday. Check that out. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Two syllables of a stranger that some couples know about each other for 40 years of marriage, and by God, with God's good grace and the power of this country.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.